Okay, so welcome everybody. Today is January 14th. No, 18th.
No,
18th. I'm looking at 1:04 p.m. and I turned that into, I don't even understand my mind when it does that. Okay, it's January 18th. I am with the October 2015 Life Coach Training Group. This is Coach the Coach, Practicum 2, Class 3, Group D. Okay, so before we jump in to learning more about turnarounds and learning more about the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet and framing up thoughts by practicing, what are your questions? Okay. Meg, you were having some challenges with framing up thoughts last time. How is that going?
It's going better. I think that simple is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And our group actually got our small group of four actually got together this week, and they really helped me through it again because it's sometimes it's not always the first sentence that you come up with or the first thought.
Mm-hmm.
To use as the sentence, but they helped me to understand better how to make it simple enough to be able to turn it around.
Yeah. Now, couple of hints. First of all, focus on a situation in your life that's bugging you rather than some big global thing like global warming shouldn't be happening. That's really big. But if you've got crazy weather, you know, or you saw something on television that disturbed you, make it specific to a situation. Or, you know, rather than my husband is a jerk, what did your husband do most recently that got under your skin and brought that thought up? So you get to the situation, you keep the situation in mind while you're working with the thought, and then you can have a more complex idea that you're working with, but you frame it up in a more simple way. And that way you can get at these more complicated ideas. You know, my boss shouldn't have been mean to me when I asked for the day off because I wanted to see my child perform in a school play. Very complex there, right? But if we focus on the response of the boss at the moment I asked for that time off and we can shorten it down, my boss shouldn't have been so rude or something like that. And I've got that specific asking for time off to go see my kid in the school play, and the boss is, you know, brusque or rude or mean response to that. Does that make sense, Mick?
Yes, it makes it much easier.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's too many moving parts.
Too many moving parts, exactly. Another hint is to always write the thought down when you're working with somebody. I do that to this day. No matter how many thousand times I've done this, I will forget it and get twisted around with it, even though I frame it up fairly simply. And, you know, focusing on that situation helps bring in, it makes it come alive rather than just theoretical, my boss is grumpy or my boss is rude or my boss is too brash, but when you make it situational, it comes alive, and you can begin to see this situationally. It's more powerful that way. Let's see. Nicole, we gave you some suggestions last time with the thought coming back. How's that understanding now?
Sure. I feel a lot better about it. I've actually been coaching myself with the work a lot,
mm-hmm.
and the same thought coming back, but I've been
mm-hmm.
using kind of the insight that, you know, you shared on that, and knowing that it's not always going to go away right away, but I have found through continually working with the work and actually going through last time, I didn't really know if we definitely had to do the 3 turnarounds, but I've been pushing myself to have 3 turnarounds and then really, you know, having the 3 examples for each, and it has been helping me mm-hmm. on a consistent basis help myself. I would say, you know, when I'm working with people, you know, I haven't had as much of a chance to kind of dive into the same issue multiple times as I have with myself, so I've seen mm-hmm. it help a little bit. But especially for my own thoughts, I've really seen it make a big difference in how I think.
And, you know, take smaller bites instead mm-hmm. of, you know, I'm a complete and utter failure at life.
Yeah.
You know, pretty global there. and I hope mm-hmm. nobody's believing something like that about themselves. You know, something more like, I should have cleaned up the kitchen last night. Before I
yeah.
went to bed, you know, a smaller bite. And then remember, there's a difference between the thought coming back and believing it when it does come back.
Yeah.
Again, this
yeah.
isn't lobotomy. You know, we're not taking out a chunk of the brain that can no longer think the thought, but we're lessening the opportunity and the likelihood of believing it. And,
yeah.
you know, you bite around the edges of a situation enough times and nibble and wiggle, and it will let go. It will let go.
Yeah.
So,
great.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay. Anything anyone else?
This,
yeah.
Yeah, this is Carrie. I have a couple of questions.
Okay, Carrie.
When I was listening to the audio with you and another class, this question came up. When someone is giving examples, do you tend to just, do you pretty much accept whatever they are offering up at that point? Or if something is, like, for example, if someone is giving an example that doesn't really seem to be, like, pertinent, do you say something about it, or do you try to navigate them in a different direction, or is it more just that any sort of close example will do?
It needs to be pertinent to them. Now, if I don't get it, I don't understand, or, you know, I might say, I don't quite understand how that relates to this situation, and then they can explain it to me.
Okay.
So it's legitimate to ask, but I don't really need to know underneath, because sometimes that invites a lot of story, too. Well, you know, it all goes back to third grade when we had a birthday party for my brother and my mother was blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to ask a question that's going to invite a lot of historical storytelling, because I don't need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm curious or I just don't quite get it, then I will ask. Does that help? If you have an
mm-hmm.
example, that would, you know, you guys, when you ask questions, if you come up with specific examples, it's always helpful.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but one of the you and the person on the audio were going through, and the person was listing examples, and I myself was thinking when she said one of her examples, I was like, well, I don't know if that really, like, that doesn't really seem like an example, a good example.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, part of that is the art form here too. You know, we want to encourage the client in their competence and
mm-hmm.
their feeling of adequacy. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
usually what is at the root of all of our troubles, right? We feel inadequate. We feel incapable. So
mm-hmm.
we want to allow the client space to feel good about themselves. So
mm-hmm.
it's a judgment call.
Okay.
You know, I can't tell you it's right or wrong. and there's no one-size-fits-all rule on that. Did you have another question? You said you had a couple.
I guess my other question is it if you're coming up with your, if you're framing your thought, is it helpful? Is it helpful for the work if it contains the word should or shouldn't have?
I don't think that particularly matters. I mean,
okay.
Certainly should statements are ripe and juicy for the work, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mother doesn't love me
mm-hmm.
is totally legitimate and a painful thought.
You could
likewise say my mother should love me.
Right, or my mother should have loved me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she doesn't love me catches the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so there's no rule about it always having a should. Yeah.
Okay.
Good questions. Okay. Now, something, I think it was Nicole a minute ago, or maybe it was Meg, I can't remember, and I wanted to come back to this, saying she was making herself find three turnarounds. There's not always three. There are always three places to look. Self, other, what's the third place?
Opposite,
yeah. Okay. You'll usually find opposite. It might be the same as self, and other is a little tricky sometimes. Okay? So let's talk about the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. Now, the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet is a thought-finding tool. Did everybody find it okay and fill one out for today?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can I have a volunteer? Someone willing to talk about their Judge Your Neighbor worksheet with me?
I will.
Okay, who's that?
I'm sorry. Hi, Terry. It's Kathy.
Kathy, thank you so much. Okay, Kathy. Now, here's how I would do it with a client. You come to the call. You brought your Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. Who's yours about?
Donna.
Okay. So read the first line. I am blank at Donna because.
Okay. I am disappointed with Donna because she's crippling my relationship with Kayla.
Okay. Now, that one's pretty simple. Donna is crippling my relationship with Kayla. Is that a pretty mm-hmm. painful thought?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I would frame that one up. I'm
okay.
talking to everybody in the class now. You see how I left off, I am disappointed with Donna? And I just got to the heart of it. Donna is crippling my relationship with Kayla. I could likewise, I suppose, say Donna disappoints me, and then situationally go back to the situation mentally where Donna is crippling my relationship. You know, something she's done, like she corrected me in front of Kayla or something like that, criticized me in front of Kayla. So there's a couple of ways you can find thoughts there out of that one. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, number two. I want Donna to...
I wrote, stop thinking of herself.
Okay. So here, Donna should stop thinking of herself. Donna shouldn't think of herself. Does that get it, Kathy?
It does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when I guide her through the work on one of those, I'm going to take Kathy to the last time Donna was selfishly thinking of herself. What's the situation in mind? And we're going to do the work. Donna is thinking of herself from there. Okay? Now, number three, what is it they should or shouldn't do? Donna should or shouldn't what?
should recognize the opportunity to receive help with Kayla.
Okay. So let's see here. Well, how would you frame that one, Kathy?
I'll be honest with you, Terry, this whole thing gets me turned around backwards. But
okay. But what I'm trying
that's why
to
I volunteer.
Is extract good. What I'm trying to do is extract thoughts out of Donna should recognize the opportunity to receive help with Kayla.
Okay.
We got a couple of things in there. First of all, it sounds like you think Donna needs help with Kayla.
Correct.
And Donna is ignoring the opportunity to get help with Kayla. Tell me where I'm wrong on that second one.
You're not. Honestly, you're right on both.
Okay. So two different ideas. Donna should get help.
Okay.
Donna should realize she's blowing off this opportunity. Now, blowing off are my words. And I wouldn't do that in session. I shouldn't have done it right here. What is she actually doing that's getting to this second part of what you're saying?
The part where she's not receiving the help?
Yeah, or not recognizing the opportunity.
Oh, what is she doing? Well, she blocked us from being able to visit Kayla in the hospital. And Kayla has been in foster care, and she has not had substantial people in her life for a long time, and we became those people, and she doesn't know. We're blocked, okay. So all of a sudden she's not seeing us.
Okay. So, and there you can make it more direct. Donna should allow us to visit Kayla.
Okay.
Donna should allow us to help Kayla.
Right.
How that gets a little more specific.
Okay.
And simplifies the idea. Does that work for you? Is that a thought that's bothering you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like it's at the heart of it. Now I'm going to talk to class a minute. So you see how I coached her a little bit to draw her out and get right to the heart of the problem here. Everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what does Donna need to do in order for you to be happy?
Well, I wrote that she needs to respond. She needs to pick up the phone, answer our texts, unblock us at the hospital, respond to an email.
Uh-huh. So all of that has to do with Donna's failure to communicate with you.
Correct.
Okay. So... if you were just talking about it in the English language, how would you say that?
If I was, Donna does not want to communicate with us.
Okay. So Donna doesn't want you to communicate, and what's so bad about that? Why is that so bad?
Because Kayla's 3 and doesn't know that we want to be there unless Donna allows it.
Okay, so Donna's causing Kayla to suffer. And, I asked you the wrong question there with that why question. But what is it in general that Donna needs to do around this issue? Donna needs to communicate.
Correct. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Donna needs to communicate with us. Yeah. Now, number five. All right, here's where you really get to judge her. What do you think of her? Donna is.
Number five. I said selfish, childish, harmful, thankless, irrational, inconsiderate, and mean.
Okay. Now, you can do those, and I recommend you do them separately. Those are separate thoughts because they're different ideas. She's selfish. She's childish. And when you get to the examples for the turnarounds, you want to come up with, you'll give separate examples of how she's not selfish, how she's not childish. They get to different ideas, And you went too fast. I didn't write them all down. But you guys
The
idea that those are all separate concepts. Sometimes you can lump them together, you know, selfish and self-centered might be the same kind of thing. Child, if somebody said she's childish and immature, you know, that's pretty much the same thing. So you could either pick one word or the other or kind of do it together, done as childish and immature. But where you've got different ideas, break those out separately to do the work. What is it that you don't ever want to experience with her again?
Just the situation where she doesn't allow us to love Kayla.
Okay. Donna shouldn't ever prevent Kayla from receiving our love. And that's even long right there. That sounds awkward to me. Donna should let us love Kayla. That's kind of what you want, right?
You sure? Yeah.
Or Donna shouldn't. I mean, it's not so much. I mean, you can love Kayla whether you're with her or not. It's showing
True.
Her love or showing up for her, right? That's the problem.
Right. Donna should let us see Kayla so Kayla recognizes we're there for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I would make that situational. Donna should let us see Kayla. And then you know situationally
Stop there.
So that
right.
Kayla knows we love her. We don't have to have that in the sentence that we're going to take
okay.
a look around. Donna should let us see. Now, how do we, out of all of those, start? Where do you start? I would just ask Kathy, which one of those ideas hit you the hardest as we were going through here? Which one had the most pain or upset for you?
Donna should let us see Kayla so Kayla realizes we're there.
Yeah. Donna should let us see Kayla.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either let the client choose the one, and I usually do that, which of these really bothers you the most, or if the client says, oh, they're all awful, then you can use your intuition to pick one, or you could read them back one by one and have your client go to her body compass and rate each one, and sometimes you'll get like one with a -8, and then everything else will be like -3s and 4s or 2s, and some at neutral. That's sometimes a good way. It depends on the time. Usually, though, the client knows what's at the heart of it. So, and they will readily choose, oh, Donna shouldn't cut us off from visiting Kayla. So, any questions about how you use the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet to frame up thoughts?
Well, so that's basically what we did. We framed the thought we framed up was that Donna should let us see Kayla, and that.
Well, we framed up a whole bunch, but that was
okay.
the one you identified as the most painful. We also had Donna.
Okay.
Selfish. Donna is childish. Donna needs to respond to our communications. Donna is crippling our relationship with Kayla. I didn't write them all down, but there were, you know, if we were in formal session, I would have written them all down and had them
right.
for you. Yeah.
Okay, so I would do a worksheet to each of those thoughts. I get it. I think I make
yeah.
them too general, big. Okay.
You what?
I make things too big, like I put too much in. I get so confused when I'm doing the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, but I think it's because I'm not simplifying enough.
Well, I think you did the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet beautifully. That's,
well, it's the next part. I get
that's
yeah.
where you let them have it. And then you take that worksheet and you extract from it the main ideas of pain, you see.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where you begin to simplify. And with a complex relationship, like it sounds like this one is, there will be a number of thoughts to do some work around. And then remember, too, and maybe I said this before, when you first start doing the work, it seems like, my God, I'm going to be doing the work and worksheets for the rest of my life, because each thought unearths more thoughts. And each one of those, you know, it just grows and grows and grows and multiplies, and I'll never get through this. But in practice, it's really not like that. And you begin to see your own participation in this, the way you're worsening your own pain with your judgments and whatnot. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay. So, does anybody have any questions about this?
Terry, I do have a question. This is Nikki.
Nikki.
And my question is, do we think about the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet as another piece of our toolbox to get to the thought when somebody just really has an issue with it seems like somebody else? So if a client came to me and said they are really finding it hard to have sustainable weight loss, I wouldn't go to this worksheet because it's just about them. And I would maybe use the five whys.
Right.
But this is a thought identifying sheet when somebody's really struggling with in particular a person.
Exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to get clear.
It's a thought finding tool that'll really let somebody have it. I do a lot I do relationship coaching. This is one of the tools that I will use with a client.
Sure.
You know, they complain about their spouse a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, I have a question. This is Tiffany.
Uh-huh.
You kind of already addressed it a little bit, but about this just feels like so overwhelming to me because, like you said, I feel like I could spend my whole entire life filling out these worksheets. And you said as you go on, it becomes a simpler process. Is that because you're just able to work through, like, maybe quickly in your mind?
No. And you don't want to work through quickly in your mind. But you get to it's kind of like this, Tiffany. You kind of get to the main themes in your life that you struggle with. I'll give you an example. One of mine is making a mistake. Oh, my gosh, if I'm criticized, if I'm given negative feedback, I just go into meltdown. And I've worked the I shouldn't have made a mistake, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have spoken out, I should have been quiet, I should have spoken up. You know, whatever way you slice it, I can make myself wrong and find a mistake in it. And this has been a theme in my life since I was a little child. But I've done enough work around it now where it used to be if Abigail, who hires the instructors, if I got an email from Abigail saying, I want to talk to you, my mind would just go, oh my God, I did something wrong with CT, they're going to fire me. Oh God, and I would get a stomach ache and I would be so upset. And now I know better. So I might have that momentary little uh-oh, but I'm able to right away say, oh, come on, you know, that's the old story just flaring up a little bit here. Abigail just wants to talk to you, you know? And then I get on the phone with Abigail, and she says, hey, would you do a workshop with me at the meet and greet? And I have the experience, too, of, wow, well, this relationship just isn't about hearing negative things. In fact, this relationship is about hearing positive things and getting hired. So I have experience to back up the, you know, is this making sense, Tiffany?
Yeah.
But believe me, at first when I started working through this, stuff around making mistakes and the stomach aches that I've carried with me throughout life over trying to get an A-plus on everything was huge. But as I've begun to understand myself and let go of that level of perfectionism and understand why I developed that as a coping strategy as a little kid, but that perfectionism isn't really what I need now. I'm kinder and easier with myself, and you know, it's just all falling away as I evolve. And that will happen with you too. But at first, I did a lot of worksheets.
Okay.
I really did, because I was really tired of feeling miserable.
Carrie, this is Linda.
Yes.
So just as you were talking, I was thinking, so would you say that the Judging Neighbor worksheet and I guess the work overall is about, am I going to lose it now? So it's not the things that happen or even the thoughts about the things that happen themselves, but it's noticing where we're believing the thoughts about the things.
Right.
And then the turnarounds are kind of ways to just play with unsticking those beliefs.
Right. Right.
Because I was just reading the work where Byron Katie says, or somebody says, maybe it's Martha, that thoughts are just going to happen. Like, that's what our brains do.
Yep.
So if we have a thought for the 55 millionth time that I'm not good enough, or I'm always the slow kid in the class, or, you know, whatever that really painful thought is, it's unsticking from believing it,
right.
You know, so
right.
That that's really what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Who is this I'm talking to?
Linda.
Linda, if I said to you, Linda, you have really gross purple hair. I'm crossing my fingers that you don't really have purple hair.
Yeah.
You laugh, right?
Yeah, I do.
You
laugh.
Don't worry about having purple hair. Why not?
Right.
Because you don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know you don't have purple hair. So if I insult you about purple hair or say something, and sometimes it's not even people insulting you, it's just like you walk out the door and you think, oh my God, you know, they're judging me.
Mm.
As you begin, you know, what's at the root of all of this is the way we judge ourselves.
Yeah.
And we project it onto people, you know.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of this pain is about, and how our minds just go and go and go, which is why a stillness or a meditation practice is so powerful, because we learn to disengage from that thought train that is just doing its job. It's just, you know, the sky is blue, the wind is blowing, I suck. It just, you know, it's just part of a train, and the sky is blue and the wind is blowing. Don't bother me in the slightest. But then, you know, my mind goes to that one, I suck. Oh, you know, there's that static and upset, and nothing has happened. I'm still sitting in the same chair looking out the same window. Yeah, so you're beginning
Got
to
it.
Get it. You're beginning
okay.
to get it.
Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Electra.
Uh-huh.
I have a similar problem to, was it Kathy that shared her?
Go ahead.
I felt struggling with generalities, like, because it's sort of, I guess instead of it being one specific thing, it's sort of a general thing. So I felt like maybe I wasn't.
What do you mean when you're talking about generalities? I'm not sure I understand.
I guess I feel like, you know, something that's, it's almost like the difference between something that happened in the past very specifically or happened once and, you know, the imperfect and the past tense in French, for example, you know, an ongoing problem, continuing, continuing, continuing. And so that felt more general to me. even though it was very specific.
Can you be specific with an example of what you're getting at so I can understand?
Okay, well, so the problem that I wrote down about the person that I wrote down it about, it happens all the time. So that it's ongoing, and it happens almost every time that I'm in there in that situation.
Okay.
And so I felt like it's not just one thing.
Right.
That bothered me. It's a continuing thing that I feel struggling to do anything about.
Uh-huh.
So that made it feel more general to me, which made it feel a little removed. If, you know, when I was trying to do the work on it myself.
Okay. Just give me a little bit of an idea. What's this person do all the time that's so annoying or...
They interrupt me all the time when I'm
they
working.
What?
Interrupt.
Okay, so that's the circumstance, right? Let's go back to the framework. The circumstance is I am talking, and what's the person's name?
Peter.
Peter interrupts me. Now, from Peter interrupting me, you're having thoughts, Electra.
Yeah, but when I got down,
yeah.
I guess so. I mean, I actually like Peter, and he's smart and super nice and has a lot of really good qualities at work, but this particular quality is not one that I like because it makes it hard for me to concentrate.
Okay.
But it feels general, I guess, is the problem, is I couldn't hone it down to a really
general?
Painful thing. It just feels like it's a general irritation, but it's a big one. So even though it's not super painful, it's super annoying to me.
Okay. So here's what I have a hunch about, Electra. I think you're being too nice. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't want to judge him. So
yeah, I don't want to judge him, but I do feel very judgmental in this particular part of the relationship.
Okay. So here's a secret. This is an opportunity to make peace with the situation with this annoying person. And maybe even be able to talk to him about it when you've come to peace inside yourself around it. But the only way you're going to get there is to let yourself be judgmental. And on paper, between you and you and nobody else, unless you want to do it in this class, this is your opportunity to judge him, to let him have it. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or nasty. It just means that you're annoyed. So Peter is annoying. Peter is selfish. Peter doesn't listen.
Okay, so that does sort of bring me to my question, I guess, is that this worksheet is really a chance for people to dig into those more private thoughts that they probably would share initially with somebody else.
You're not going to
get clear on them.
Peter.
Themselves.
What?
No, to get clear on it themselves, like what, how,
they're
bad or irritated or whatever they are. Okay.
The Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, in fact, is perfect for somebody like you that's struggling to find words. You see, with Kathy, I could likely have gotten to that with the thing about I'm forgetting the names of the Donna and Kayla. I might have been able to get to that with the five whys and some questions. With you, this is a particularly good tool because you're struggling to judge him and to get to the bottom of why he bugs you. And what's so vexing about this? So with the reluctant client, this is a very good tool.
Mm-hmm.
Does Does that help?
When you say a reluctant client, are you saying someone who might be being too nice to somebody, for example, not being harsh enough on their feelings about bothering them?
Reluctant to really get in touch with how upset or angry they are.
Okay.
All right,
somebody, I got it.
Yeah. Remember, you guys, we're all human. We all have judgments. We want to meet them with understanding. We want to meet them with kindness towards ourselves, always, because we're just humans and we judge. It's part of what we do. Now, do we want to go around in a tizzy all the time about it? No, we don't. We want to be able, in fact, to make enough peace inside ourselves to approach the Peters in our lives and say, you know what, that doesn't work for me. So in the future, when we're in a meeting and I'm speaking, I would really appreciate your waiting until I'm finished before you offer your opinion. And when we approach the Peters in our world that way, more peacefully, sometimes they'll even hear us and say, wow, okay, I'm sorry. Not always, but we're most likely to get that kind of response when we're at peace. So the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet and the work that we do after that, the thought-dissolving work, is the way to find that path to peace.
May I add something here?
Uh-huh.
This is Laurel. And Electra, I just wanted to tell you that I had a similar experience with this Judge Your Neighbor worksheet because my mother said something that was perfectly nice, and I got so annoyed with her out of the blue, and I couldn't figure out why. And so I sat down and filled out all these questions, and it's interesting because I would write something down, and I would instinctively feel, no, that's not right. That's not why I'm annoyed. And then I would go on to the next number, and it wasn't until the last sentence on question number 6 that I could finally identify why I was even annoyed at something that she had said that was nice. But I couldn't understand it without the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet.
So it wasn't until you got to the what do I not want to experience again that you figured out what it was?
Yeah, that I could even figure out why I was annoyed in the first place.
Right. Yeah, that's.
I just understand what you're going through, and I just wanted to add that.
Hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys. Well, let's put the questions on hold for right now, and let's turn our attention to turnarounds. Now, here's what we're going to do. Everybody's going to participate. And I've got a list here, and I've double-checked it, but I just want to make sure that I've got everybody. Laurel, Carrie, Kathleen, Linda, Tiffany, Kathy, Nicole, Meg, Kristen, and Electra. Did I get everybody? Okay. Here's how we're going to do this. Laurel, I'm going to ask you to read me one of the thoughts from your Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, framed up as best you can, and if it's not perfect, that's okay, because I'm going to coach you to, part of what I'm going to do with you is to coach you to frame it to a sentence that bothers you, that works well for the work.
Okay.
And what you're going to do, we're not going to go all the way through the work, I'm just going to ask you to look for the turnarounds. We're going to skip the examples. This is not something you'll do with a client. This is just an exercise we're going to do in class round robin to frame up thoughts and find turnarounds. And
okay.
That's it. Okay? And I promise everybody, and then after I'm done with you, you will work with Carrie, and then Carrie with Kathleen and so forth. There's nothing to prepare. There's nothing to scramble for here, you guys. We're just going to take one thought, make sure it's framed up well, and find the turnarounds. Okay? So would you read me what you got?
I shouldn't have to snap to her desires.
I shouldn't have to snap to her desires. Now, it'll work better for the turnarounds, Laurel, and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a first name for she?
Mom.
Mom? Okay. If we can make it about mom rather than me. Because remember, with the turnarounds, we're going to do one to self. Mom shouldn't what?
Mom shouldn't. Mom shouldn't make me do things.
Right, or what's the last time mom got under your skin around this? What was going on?
I had just finished making dinner, and I sat down to eat it, and she was already cleaning up the kitchen and asked me to come help her do so. So I didn't have time to eat.
Okay.
So mom shouldn't.
Mom should be more patient with me. Mom shouldn't expect me to be on her timetable.
It's more like, mom shouldn't control everybody else.
Well, let's keep it with you.
Mom shouldn't control me.
Okay? And then as I do the work with you, which we're not going to do, but as if I was, we'd go back to that dinner situation where she's cleaning up before the fork has gotten to your mouth.
Yes.
Right? So mom shouldn't control me.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's find the turnarounds. Mom shouldn't.
Mom.
What's the opposite?
Mom should control me.
Okay, very good. What's the other?
me or I shouldn't control mom.
Yep. And now turn it to yourself.
I shouldn't control me.
Good. Okay. So does that help, Laurel?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, yeah, and I shouldn't have to snap to mom's desires is a little more awkward. Did we get to the same idea there with mom shouldn't control me?
Yeah, you did. I was identifying with the verb snap, which somehow had more juice in it. But we definitely got to the same idea. So it's better, it truly is better, seems like it's better if it's about someone else and not yourself.
Yeah, it is. Mom shouldn't expect me to snap when she wants to or something. Snap, let's see, mom shouldn't expect me to snap to her desires.
Yeah. There's a kind of immediacy to the word snap that's there. So, yeah, mom shouldn't
expect me to snap to her desires.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the opposite there?
Mom should expect me to snap to her desires.
Okay, and what's the other?
mom shouldn't I have to write it down to do this.
Yeah, now you're going to step into mom's shoes.
Right. Mom shouldn't expect me to snap to her desires. Okay, so the other, I shouldn't expect mom to snap to my desires.
That's one. We've got more than one other here, and there's a good one in here.
I shouldn't expect mom to snap to her desires or my desires.
I shouldn't expect me to snap to mom's desires.
Oh, I like that one much better. To snap to mom's desires. That feels so much better.
Do you see how powerful that one is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then turn it to self.
mom shouldn't. Ooh, suddenly when there's a mom and a me in there, it does get more confusing.
Okay, when it's self, we're going to let mom out of it altogether.
Out. Okay.
I
shouldn't expect me to snap to my desires.
Right.
Her desires? My desires.
My desires. What are you desiring in here when in this situation that you're snapping to?
Hmm. I see.
You get it?
Yep, I do.
Maybe mom's approval or.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, people pleasing.
Juicy. I invite you to do the work on this thought. You know.
Yeah, that's
really
a good
get
one.
The full impact of it. Mom shouldn't expect me to snap to her desires. Beautiful. Okay, so now you're going to coach Carrie. Just like that. Frame up a thought, find the turnaround.
Okay. Carrie, are you there?
Carrie?
Are you still with us, Carrie?
All right, I'll tell you what. Maybe she's having trouble getting off mute. How about Kathleen?
I'm here.
That's
Hi,
Kathleen.
Do you have a thought for us to play with?
A thought off my Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. So is my thought about the person?
Any thought.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. But, yeah, ideally from your Judge Your Neighbor worksheet.
Okay. So my judging of the other person, which went well with interrupting and thing, is Holly, her is just exhausting me with, she's just always so judgmental, just very black and white and judgmental. And I feel exhausted because I just always feel like I have to stand up for all the people in her wake.
So is the painful thought Holly is judgmental? Is that correct?
Yes.
Or are we missing anything about?
Well, I don't. What is my painful thought?
Seems like there's a piece about Holly being judgmental, and there's also a piece about you being exhausted. They seem like different thoughts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Holly's judgmental behavior exhausts me.
Ooh. How does that feel?
It's definitely true. I'll give it that.
Does that one inspire you, or is that one shackles on?
Does it inspire me?
Shackles off, huh?
I guess I'm not feeling shackles to it. But what's funny is I've been dealing with this for a while. This is my best childhood friend, and what's going through my mind that never really has before is probably the thought, which is interesting. Now it comes up is. What if my lifelong friend, you know, isn't feeling like a good person lately?
Okay. Time out here. We're doing a classroom exercise. You're trying to forgive her. You're trying to forgive her now before you've judged her and gone through the work. Okay? And that's okay. I don't recommend it. I recommend if you're having relationship issues with somebody, the first is to really let them have it and come to peace and then forgive them.
Okay, I am exhausted because she is judgmental.
But be that as it may, Holly's judgmental behavior exhausts me or is exhausting me. Does that get it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Laurel's going to guide you through the turnarounds on that.
Okay.
All right.
How about, can you find the opposite for Holly's judgmental behavior? Did we get it? Is exhausting me or exhausts me? Feels better. Which one feels better?
Okay, thanks.
Exhausts me.
Okay. So can you find the opposite of that?
Well, I've played with this, so I would think I guess the opposite is her judgmental behavior does not exhaust me.
Right. I think that's right. Yeah. Holly's judgmental behavior does not exhaust me. And then how about the other? Can you find a turnaround for the other?
I'm not clear on that, if you could help with that.
Holly's judgmental behavior exhausts me. Can we switch the nouns?
Switch the people, Kathleen.
I always have the urge to put it on myself. So
I know you do. I know you do. But and here's your opportunity.
Right.
So switch the people.
Judgmental exhaust me.
Exhaust the people.
Yeah.
So oh, exhaust Holly.
Yeah.
Does probably.
Okay.
Certainly.
Whether it feels true or not, we're just doing
right, turning it around
today. Yeah.
Okay.
So
my judgmental behavior exhausts
Holly.
Is that what I got? Okay.
Yes.
And then let's turn around to the self.
That wasn't it.
So if we drop the object, and it's the way I understand it, it's only about you.
Okay.
So if we drop Holly out altogether, what do you get?
Just judgment exhausts me.
My judgmental behavior exhausts
me. True.
You keep the sentence structure, Kathleen, and you leave Holly out of it. And you just put yourself in the whole thing. So
mm-hmm.
Holly's judgmental behavior exhausts me. If you make that yourself now, what do you get?
Right, okay. So my judgmental behavior exhausts me.
There you go. Okay. Laurel?
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Very good job.
Thanks for your help.
You. Okay. Kathleen?
Yes.
I'd like you to take Linda through the process. So Linda is going to provide one of her thoughts.
Okay. So mine is, Dennis shouldn't embarrass me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is a painful thought. Dennis should not embarrass you. So now we do. We just go straight to turnaround. So what is the opposite?
Dennis should embarrass me.
And does any part of that feel true?
Again, we're not going to go in.
Oh, sorry.
We haven't
okay,
done
so there's work. One.
We're just finding turnarounds, right?
We're just finding the three
right.
turnarounds.
And you know what? As long as you said that, Kathleen,
yes.
When you're doing the work, don't ask the client if a turnaround feels true. We ask the client to find examples of the turnaround. Because until they've gone all the way through, if you were really doing the exercise, we just ask them to find examples rather than does that turnaround feel true. Because the mind is going to want to stick to the old story and reject the truth of the new turnaround. So we're just... Look looking for new places for the mind to go.
Okay. We're wiggling. Okay, yeah. So there is the opposite. So then we try to find the one with the self or the other.
Other.
The other.
Okay, the other. I shouldn't embarrass Dennis.
Huh. Yep.
Okay.
And then, yes, and then.
And then the self would be, I shouldn't embarrass myself.
You're very good.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And when you're asking clients to find examples to these things, it also counts how we're embarrassing ourselves in our minds. I embarrass myself when I, you know, do these things. You know, it counts even if, you know, like about judging Dennis. I embarrass myself when I swear at Dennis under my breath or, you know, in my mind. That counts too. I'm just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So okay.
Kathleen, thank you. Good job.
Excuse me, yes?
Hmm? I said good job.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Linda?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tiffany is your client.
Okay. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello.
Okay, so do you have a painful thought?
I do. My sister-in-law, Floor, should allow me to have my own opinion.
Okay, my sister-in-law, what's her name? I missed that part.
It's Floor. It means it's flower in Spanish.
Oh, Floor. Gotcha. My sister-in-law, Floor, should allow me to have my own opinions. Okay. So what would be the opposite of that?
Floor should not allow me to have my own opinion.
Yes. Great. And then what would be turning it around to the other?
You know, these are the ones I always have a hard time with.
Somebody
help me out.
Can you get, Carrie, can you get strange with language in cases like this? Just like something nonsensical, like my opinions should be able to have floor, or I'm losing some of the language now.
What we want to do is keep with the structure as much as possible. Floor should let me have my own opinions. Now, other, we're going to just simply switch the people in a way that allows us to own the behavior that we're accusing Floor of. So
I should let Floor have her own opinions.
I should let Floor have her opinions. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are there any others in there like that?
There's a bunch of them. Is this who's speaking up? Is that Linda or Tiffany?
That's Linda just now that was asking that.
Because I'm trying to draw out Tiffany here. As much as I appreciate your enthusiasm to learn this, though, trust me. Floor should let me have my opinions. I should let Floor have her opinions, including the fact that she's trying to control my opinion, right?
Right.
I should let Floor have my opinions. Let her believe anything she wants.
Okay.
I should let Floor have my opinions. I should let me have Floor's opinions. There's a number of ways you can cut this one. And they all problem a little differently. And when you start finding examples of those, you will find the mind finding some new perspectives about the situation.
Okay.
So you've got one more, Linda.
Yeah, and then turn it around to the self.
I should let me have my own opinion.
Yeah.
You sounded tentative.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That was it. I should let me have my opinions.
Why was I tentative about that?
I don't know why, but you said yeah, and so Tiffany stopped. She was kind of hanging there. She wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got it exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. Tiffany.
Great, thanks.
Tiffany, it's your turn with Kathy now.
Okay, Kathy, what do you have?
Hi, Tiffany. I have Donna Should Let Me See Kayla.
Okay. So turn that around to yourself.
Turn it around to myself. I should let myself see Kayla.
And also here, I should let myself see myself.
I should let myself see myself.
I should let me see myself.
That's the self one, right. I should let myself see me.
I think there's myself. Two there. Yeah. I should let me see Kayla. I should let me see myself.
Oh, okay.
One, you know, you could call one the other, you could call it self. It doesn't, you know, it's not so much the name we give it, but to get the idea of it done.
Okay, so Donna should let me see Kayla. You turn that around to yourself. Now turn that around to the other.
So the other, I should let Donna see Kayla.
Okay.
I get so mixed up. Okay, I should let Donna see Kayla.
Mm-hmm. And Donna should let me see Kayla to the opposite.
I should let, wait a minute, didn't I just do that? Let's see. Donna should let me see Kayla. Kayla should let me see Donna. Wow, this is like I'm dyslexic on this whole worksheet.
Whoa. Opposite just changes the verb.
Oh, that's right. So Donna shouldn't let me see Kayla. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Kayla being 3 years old or 4 years old, we don't need to get into what Kayla should be doing here. That would not be helpful to a client. So I would skip any turnaround there.
Right.
If Kayla was an adult, that might be another possibility. But you've got plenty to work with those turnarounds. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does this help? Kathy, I know you're dyslexic around these.
It does. It helps when other people are doing it. I totally see it. And I'm writing everything down. It's like, yeah, it all makes sense. And then when I'm doing it, I don't know what it is. I get all twisted around.
Okay.
So this has been my experience all along.
Okay, Kathy, number one, always write the sentence down. Number two,
mm-hmm.
This is something near and dear to your heart. It is going to be, you are going to get all turned around. So when you're getting coached, it's okay to let yourself get turned around, you see.
Okay.
It's the coach's responsibility to keep you straight. When you're self-coaching and you write it down and you're still getting kind of scrambled with it,
mm-hmm.
I think it might be the emotionality of the situation. And so it's time to either hire a coach or work a buddy coach, because it's just too touchy, too tender, perhaps. I don't know.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I mean, it could. I just get stuck. I don't know why. And anything, even if it's not emotional. Like when everyone else was doing it, just now it seemed like boom, boom, boom. They had it all down pat. It looked good and it all made sense. And then when I got there, it's like I felt like I was speaking Greek or hearing it. Like I couldn't. So that's just me. I just have to keep working through it.
Okay. And I hear some charge in your voice around this. So
yeah.
Yeah. So what are you believing about turnarounds?
I don't know. I get so overwhelmed. I've been working on this night and day, and it seems like when I get to the turnaround, I just get mixed up. It's,
yeah. So I'm hearing a lot of thoughts about turnarounds. Turnarounds
right.
are overwhelming. Turnarounds
yes.
mix me up.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah. So it might be a couple of things. Slow down and breathe a little bit. Let your brain come back online. And then maybe do the work on turnarounds. Believe me, you wouldn't be the first to go through this program and judge the work or turnarounds.
Okay.
And just be very patient with yourself. But if you write them down, and I always go in a specific order. I do opposite, other, self. Opposite is simple. You change the verb. Self is simple. You make it all about you. Other, so there's two out of three that should be fairly straightforward for you, Kathy. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong at all. I think that's why I get so frustrated, because it seems so clear until I'm doing it, and then it's like, what just happened?
Well,
so,
I hear you rushing, though. I hear you really revved up inside. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Oh, you're not. I have been driving myself crazy over this turnaround.
Right.
So you're right. It's, yeah.
So it's time to really unwind inside. So maybe your mind-body tools before you try this again. Breathing, you know, three deep, easy breaths, because you're going into fight or flight, and your brain is not at its maximum capacity when your adrenaline is all juiced up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to take Nicole through this, and let's see what you do. But first, three deep breaths, and Nicole is getting her thought ready for you.
Oh, Nicole. Okay.
Slow it down. Okay?
I'll slow it down. Okay, Nicole, do you have a thought that you want to work on?
Yeah. My thought is that I am sad with Bonnie that she can't meet a man because she won't be vulnerable.
Okay. There's a lot there. Let's see if we can shorten a little bit. You're sad for Bonnie because she can't meet a man because she can't be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, is that two things to work on, Terry? Because she can't be vulnerable and because she can't meet a man? They're just two different thoughts.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So
which one?
I think it's I am sad with Bonnie because she can't be vulnerable.
Okay, because she can't be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we want to then do the turnarounds with it. So we'll start.
Yeah, wait, frame up the thought first so that.
Okay, I am sad with Bonnie because, oh, wait, do I frame it up?
Okay,
no.
Yes, But remember, you're going to drop off the I am sad, the feeling you're going to drop off. What's the heart of this thought?
Bonnie cannot be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
Check it with your client.
Does that make sense to you? Does that feel like that's what you want to work with?
Bonnie, yeah, it does. I like the fact, too, to just drop off the feeling. I kind of forget to do that sometimes. So, good. So,
me
Bonnie
too.
Cannot be vulnerable.
Okay. So, if we turn that around, what would be the opposite?
Bonnie can be vulnerable.
Okay. And then if you want to turn it to other?
I can be vulnerable. Yeah. Or let me see, to other. If I turn it to myself, I know it would be I cannot be vulnerable.
Right.
If I turn it,
we don't have
to,
a way to switch the people here because we don't have two people in it.
Yes.
Remember, yes. I said there's not always three turnarounds.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the self was I cannot be vulnerable, and then the other, there may not be another here, or I would say, for me, as I've gone through the work, I think an other could also be my thinking cannot be vulnerable.
Well,
or
my thinking, when you say I can't be vulnerable, that really
maybe
does
that's
get
the
to
same.
Your thinking. You see, it's the same
okay.
thing. We use okay. my thinking in a sentence as a substitute when we can't get to the self. It's not a
okay.
substitute for other, but it's a substitute for self when it's like, I shouldn't be fat. My thinking
okay.
is fat.
Okay. Perfect. Good. All right. Good. I think we have the two that'll work.
Okay. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
So are you guys getting this now? Is this helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nicole, take it away with Meg.
Hey, Nicole. Hey. All right. So here's my painful thought. And you might recognize this, but my coworker should have boundaries when it comes to my personal things.
Okay. Would it be easier to say my coworker should have respect for me?
We can do that. That's fine.
Okay, is there anything
else? If I could make a suggestion here, she used the word boundaries, Nicole.
Yeah.
My coworker should respect my boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
I like the way you framed it, though, should respect me, because you got them both in there. That was very good. But you can
okay.
take it a little bit, you can make it a little bit more
sure.
clear. Does that get it, Meg?
All right.
So we're going with my coworker should respect my boundaries.
Does
that
feel good?
Yeah, that works. So the opposite would be my coworker should not respect my boundaries.
Yeah.
The other would be I should respect her boundaries.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the self, I should respect my boundaries.
Yeah. Those are correct.
How'd we do, Terry?
Perfect. Perfect.
Awesome.
Nicole, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Nikki.
Sure thing, Maggie.
Okay. So if let me just say this because we're coming up to the end, and I'll go all the way through with you guys, whoever can stay on. But if you need to drop off at times, certainly do so. Next week, though, we're going to switch to the ACT tools, Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. It's a very fun class, so please try to get here. It's lighthearted. This is a light tool. We're going to talk about why we use it, when to use it, who to use it with, and then we're, again, going to have one of these round robins where we'll all pretty much get to participate in it. So come back with your thoughts. Watch the videos, listen to the recordings, do the prep work that's in the binder and on your learning site. If you've got to leave before we get through everybody, that's just fine. Now, we have Kristen, Electra, Meg, and Laurel to go. Any of you four need to leave right at 2:30?
This is Laurel.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, this is Laurel, and you did me first, so I'm good.
I know. So if you want to drop off, that's fine. I want to give Electra a chance to work with somebody.
Okay.
So we'll find somebody. If you need to go, that's fine.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, Meg and Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hello.
Hey. All right, so tell me your painful thought, please.
I have a quick question. Can I, Terry, I get the turnarounds with two people involved in it. Like the turnaround I could use that is easy for me is my husband should address what is bothering me. But I'm wondering about a more general thought, like it's wrong to confront someone if it creates conflict.
Well, again, generalities are not going to be as powerful as specific.
Okay.
So what's the situation where somebody confronted somebody and conflict was created?
It hasn't happened yet. It's something I'm hesitating doing with a friend. I'm hesitating creating conflict with a friend by being... by confronting her with something. My friend lied to me,
okay. And
I want to confront her. So I could just go with, you know, my friend should not lie to me.
I mean, that's where the fear is, right? Or
Fear from me, you mean, where the fear is,
yeah,
about the conflict?
Yeah. What are you afraid is going to happen that's bothering you?
That is a really good question. What am I afraid is going to happen that's bothering me?
She's going to reject you if you...
I'm afraid
her.
She's going to judge me.
Okay.
Aha.
So if I confront... What's her name?
Jackie.
If I confront Jackie, she will judge me.
Okay. I'm good with that. If I confront Jackie, she will judge me. Go ahead, Meg.
All right. That's what I wrote down. If I confront Jackie, she will judge me. So now we want to do the opposite.
Is that what you want? Okay. If I don't confront Jackie, she will judge me.
Correct.
And this is a good one because we've got two verbs in it. So you've got two different places to turn around. If I don't confront Jackie, she will judge me, which is really interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you don't want me to do examples now. You just want me to give more turnaround?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then, like she said, there's the other one. What about if I confront Jackie, she won't judge me or will not?
Mm-hmm. If I confront Jackie, she will not judge me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so when you've got two verbs, you can do two opposites, which is really juicy.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. so now, now you got to do the other, which is going to be your switch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a couple ideas about that. But,
okay, go for it.
If I can actually switch the verb, but let me try this other one first. If I confront.
What about if you switch the people?
What, Meg?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Go ahead, Terry, what?
No, no, no. Go ahead.
If I confront myself, I will judge Jackie. No, that doesn't work. Well, actually, it does kind of work. But I think the playing with the wording and the you know, the order of things is the, is Terry?
There's a
right.
bunch of them in here. There's a bunch of ways to turn this to other. Yeah. So let's,
right.
let's see what you got.
Okay. If I can, I'm going to write that one down then. If I confront myself.
You might judge yourself.
Yeah. Jackie will judge me. If I, if Jackie confronts me, I will judge her.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, I'm writing these down so I can see them. Okay. If I judge Jackie, she will confront me.
Aha. Yeah.
If I confront Jackie, I will judge me.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a good one.
I will judge myself. Okay. If Jackie confronts me, I will judge her. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I cover them? Because I'm just I'm looking at words and moving them around here and playing with them. Is there any? Is there one that's jumping out at you that I missed?
I don't think so. I think you got all of them, as far as I can tell. You have all the ones that I wrote down.
Terry, is there anything I missed in there?
I think you. I don't see one that you missed. I think you. You did a great
you did awesome.
Job there.
I have another idea, too, and sometimes I like to just play with the opposite of the word confront.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could just do something like if I confront my thoughts about Jackie,
well, that
I will
is
judge.
What this is all about. So let's,
I will judge
we
them.
We don't need to add thoughts in here.
Okay. Yeah, if I don't, I didn't play with the opposite of that as much. If I don't, yeah, I said that earlier. If I don't confront Jackie, what's the opposite of confront to me? If I, accept, or, no, that's not the opposite. If I accept
well,
Jackie, she will
can,
not.
We can do antonyms, which are, you know, the opposite words.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let you do that on your own time because we're already
okay.
a couple of minutes over.
Got it. Okay.
So, Meg, what else did
yes.
you do?
I think she did great. I thought she did really good because she switched it. She changed the verb and then,
mm-hmm.
or she did the opposite. I'm sorry. She switched it with if Jackie confronts me, she will judge me. And then she did it about herself. If I confront myself, I will judge me. So I thought that she covered all of them. I thought she did really good, actually.
She did great. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you.
Okay. Kristen.
Yes.
Will you work with Electra?
Yes, I
and
will. Hi,
I
Electra.
Somebody is banging around a bit. If you could four-star yourself, that would be great. Thank you.
Electra, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I'm taking
a
deep breath.
So
do you have a thought?
I'm going to do the one that was on my Judge My Neighbor worksheet, which is, I won't take out the emotion right now, so you can, so I can do that after, make it smaller. I'm angry with Peter when he interrupts me at work.
I am angry with Peter when he interrupts me at work.
Yeah. So if I have to take the emotion out of that, my sentence would be, Peter interrupts me at work.
I'm okay if you want to leave the emotion in for right now, if you want to work with that, I'm angry. Or Peter,
well, I
about a should, how about a should statement? Can you give me a should statement for that?
Go ahead.
What happens when you leave the emotion here, so here, you get two different thoughts. I'm angry at Peter. One thought,
yeah,
like maybe she's judging herself. I shouldn't be angry at Peter.
Got it, okay.
And then, you know, Peter interrupts me or Peter shouldn't interrupt me. Either way, whichever way gets the most juice for Electra.
Okay.
Well,
and
I think the juice part is the interruption, not the anger.
Okay.
So
can you give me a should statement or a shouldn't statement?
Peter shouldn't interrupt me at work.
Okay. Peter shouldn't interrupt me at work. Can you tell me, can you start with the opposite of that?
Peter should interrupt me at work.
Okay. That's one turnaround. How about a turnaround to the other?
Right. Now, unlike a lot of people, for some reason the other gets me a little dyslexic feeling. So I'm going to.
That's okay.
Say,
you're just going to switch Peter and, yourself.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't interrupt Peter at work.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work because that's not what I do. So that turnaround absolutely does not work.
Well, if I was coaching you, Electra, I am sure I could have you find examples, because I'm going to bet in your mind you're interrupting Peter a lot.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I didn't think of the hypotheticals that go into your mind. That's a really good.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
Yes. Yes. How do you interrupt Peter?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I couldn't interrupt Peter at work. Is the other, and then self would be I shouldn't interrupt myself at work.
Yes. And then we would find examples of how you were interrupting yourself at work.
Right. Okay. All right, I got it. So now sometimes there's a couple of turnarounds on the other, but in this case there's not, right?
A couple turnarounds for the other? Do you have another one?
No, she
no,
said
but I have thought of examples where there are more than one.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why.
I'll tell you why. I'm looking back for those examples that we had earlier.
Well, we had the Donna.
Donna should let me.
Kayla one.
Kayla.
But she was
yeah.
too young, so you can't do the Kayla to
well,
the Donna.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I just didn't write it down. But here, it's simple. We've got two people. There's only one other.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, Carrie, can I ask another? How about
Kathy.
If you used work? No, I'm sorry,
one.
I was going to say, how about if you used the word work?
Well, give it a try.
My work shouldn't interrupt Peter?
Does that make any common sense?
The idea here is not
to go digging where there is no place to dig.
Okay, all right.
The one where we had the extra turnaround to other was, if I confront Jackie, she will judge me. And remember, we had all kinds of others in there. If I confront myself, Jackie will judge me. If Jackie confronts me, I will judge her. There were several in there. So that was...
Right.
Okay. So, Kristen, thank you.
You're welcome.
Electra, we need a volunteer for you, so you get a turn here.
Okay.
Could somebody work with Electra briefly here, please? With a new thought?
I can do it. I got to think of a thought real quick, this is Meg. Hi, Electra.
Hi, Meg.
Let me think of a thought real quick.
Can you bring three to class? Just grab one. I'm concerned that somebody has walked away from the phone. I still hear some background noise. It seems okay now. You have one, Meg?
Yeah. Guy drinks too much. Is that too simple?
What's the name?
Guy drinks too much alcohol on the weekend.
Okay. Should we just go with that, or should we put it into a should have sentence?
That's fine.
That make it.
That's
just fine,
like that.
Okay, thanks
so
much. Okay. All right. So turn that around to the opposite.
So guy does not drink too much on the weekend.
Okay. And. Can you turn it around to the other in that?
The other is tricky.
Which guy would be alcohol? That's kind of a weird turnaround.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it. Would you?
The other, we're having a challenge with the other.
What did Meg? Meg?
I didn't come up with anything yet because it's challenging. So guy drinks too much alcohol on the weekend. Would I switch guy and alcohol?
Well, you know, again, we're not trying to strain. Sometimes when you do those creatively, they work. Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
Alcohol
all right.
Drinks too much guy on the weekend.
Yeah, that's not going to make sense. No.
It doesn't make sense. But sometimes they're interesting, so it's worth playing with. But here, I'd skip it.
Okay.
So,
and then,
instead of the self.
And then, so it would be, I drank too much alcohol on the weekend.
Okay.
Now, a client might say, yeah, but I don't even drink. But here, I invite the client to realize how much their mind is drinking. You know, there's
right.
a guy having another drink. Uh-oh, he's heading for the refrigerator. So they're mentally drinking on the weekends as they're observing and judging guy.
Gotcha.
The other thing is, how is the client numbing themselves? What kind of behavior are they engaging in? You know, maybe.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe they're drinking too much television, or they're drinking too much shopping, or they're drinking too much arguing with guy, something like that. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely did not really think of those in the turnaround.
Yeah. Which is why we don't say, how does that turnaround feel? Because a teetotaler client is going to say, well, I never drink at all. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Right.
There's
okay.
something they're drinking.
Well, you gave a good example in... both of those examples now. I shouldn't interrupt myself at work. I shouldn't drink, I drink too much alcohol on the weekend. I mean, you know, there are ways in which they're hypothetically true if they're invading your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're not like physically true, but they're taking up energy
right.
in your mind.
Right. Beautiful. Okay, you guys. Anyone with a burning question that just can't wait to the forum on this?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Thank you.
You did great.
Thank
today.
You.
Practice
Thank you very
these.
Much.
Practice these. We'll take any lingering questions with the work next week. And I'll see you. Well, is it next week or do we have a break there? Let's see. No, it is next week.
So it's next week.
ACT, yeah. See you on the 25th and on the forum. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Carrie. Bye.
Bye,
Carrie.
Bye, guys.